The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After he was baptized by John, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, and it seems like such a short time, you have brought your Son from the manger to the desert. And now you call us to follow him. So we pray as we continue our journey. May you open the eyes of our heart to see your way more clearly, that we might follow you more dearly, day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Men, before you get too nervous, don't worry, there's no exchange of vows today. This runner is left from last night when we had our renewal of vows ceremony here at St. Joseph's. I always like to leave this runner up the next day because it serves to me as a reminder always of the fact that we don't have to be married husband and wife to think about the overall wedding that we celebrate, and that is the fact that Christ takes us as his bride. That for each one of us, just as a husband and wife have committed themselves to each other for life, so too Christ does that with each one of us. There is no one who goes without a Valentine this week, because there is one we celebrate each Lent, with what Christ does for us. I told the story last night that I had heard of a woman who was having tea with one of her friends, and she says to her friend, "Boy, am I in trouble with my husband. I broke his favorite golf club." To which the other person said, "Well, what did he say?" And she responded, "Well, when he got up off the floor, he said, 'What hit me?'" Perhaps his priorities had gotten a little bit out of hand. This is all about priorities. This entire Lenten season, especially this gospel of the temptations that we hear, has to do with priorities. When Jesus dismisses the devil, he says, "Worship the Lord your God, serve only him." And so we spend this time in our desert, these 40 days, as we spend our entire spiritual lives trying to respond to that call. We're not going to be perfect. We are going to fall. Last night, one of our regulars who comes to our healing service, she was surprised that we had the runner down here, and she said to me, "I don't think I want to go down that aisle on that runner because I might fall." And I said, "Well, we all do, figuratively." The good news is we have someone who sets an example for us. And as we do in each of the other seasons of Lent, we begin with this incredible story of Jesus and the temptations. There are some things I would like to point out today about this story that I think have some amazing applications to our life in Christ as well. Number one, notice Matthew's words. Matthew always has a reason for the phrases, each word he gives us. After Jesus was baptized by John, the Spirit led him into the desert. This is not just an accident that Jesus is led to the desert to be tempted. It is God providing the opportunity for Jesus to make the choices that are going to enable him to do the ministry and continue to make more difficult choices in following his Father's will. There is an incredible power that comes to us in our lives when we are given the temptation to choose one thing over another because it seems like a good shortcut. And the answer that we get from Jesus' life is there are no shortcuts. There doesn't need to be a shortcut because we go straight to God for our strength. There are three temptations that Jesus is given. A temptation to use his power, the shortcut, and wrong way. Change these stones into loaves of bread. You won't be famished anymore. Jesus won't take the shortcut. He is then told, use your popularity for the wrong reasons. Throw yourself down so your angels can come and save you. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. Don't use popularity for the wrong things. And then finally, choose a bad partnership. Partnership with me. Look at all of this. This could be yours as well. It's a good shortcut, Jesus. No. Worship the Lord your God. Serve only him. Jesus continues to make decisions that are going to help him to get to that next plateau that we talked about last week. It is the same for us. You know, we always think of temptation always being a bad thing. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a very good thing because God can use that to enable us to have the strength to choose God, and consequently the next decision that we are called to make will be just that much easier for us to make. Because we have continued to make these steps along the way of choosing the way that God would have us go. Think of that the next time you have whatever it is that you deal with in your life. For some of us, it is just a temptation to give up hope. For some of us, it is a very physical temptation to choose physical relationships, to choose alcohol, to choose drugs, whatever it might be, that sort of just helps us to escape and take a shortcut that we know is going to lead to a dead end, but we seem to do it anyway. Look at what Jesus does, and perhaps we will have that strength. There's a second thing that Jesus does that I think we do too little of in our denomination. He quotes Scripture. Now, I would be the last person to suggest that we all become fundamentalists and have arguments going back and forth, quoting scripture back and forth like that, because it creates a no-win situation. But what Jesus does is he has these special verses that I bet somewhere along the line in his growing up became special to him. All those Sabbaths in the synagogue, all those times learning in the home with Mary and Joseph, that somewhere along the line, he developed these heart verses. He developed these verses from Scripture that when he needed would give him personal strength, because it would bring back to him a moment in his life where God touched his heart in some way. I think we all need to have these heart verses in our own lives. With our school kids, we have them choosing their favorite scripture verses every week, and a different child will get up and share it. And they will share why that scripture is important to them. And Father William and I usually have our eyes wide open because it's incredible some of these things they come up with. But for us, as we spend this time that is dedicated especially to looking at scripture, maybe this is the time in your life to start reflecting a bit on what are those verses that really bring meaning to me? For me, there's been one that goes back to my initial call to the priesthood. Perfect love casts out all fear. I can't tell you how many times I go back to that verse, because it is one that has meant so much in my own personal journey. And when I have fear, to call that verse to mind gives me strength. What is it for you? And then there is another thing in this scripture today that I want us to recall. I don't think God would have sent Jesus out into the desert at the age of 12. When he was lost in the temple, I don't think he was ready for that 40 days to deal with Satan. It is when he reaches the age of his ministry as an adult, not only physically, but spiritually, that he is ready for those temptations to happen and to go out to that wilderness place and to look deeply inside himself and to encounter even some loneliness there. But he's willing to do it and able to do it because of the spiritual maturity that he has reached. It takes a mature person to be able to deal with that loneliness, with that solitude, because the answer is not instantaneous. I remember in my life at Motorola, a lot of what I had to do around the world was helping people to start a business and helping them to think about the things creatively out of the box that would help them to have a competitive edge. And we use a tool that many of us use called brainstorming. And you sit around a table and you have a particular issue and everybody just out of the box starts throwing out ideas as to what they think we should do. And the most important thing with brainstorming is that after everybody has spouted out their initial ideas, there's silence after that. And the tendency that we would have is to say, okay, exercise done, let's move on. But if you stay in that silence and let things germinate, and let people think about the things that have been said, it seemed like every time the most creative and original ideas would come out of that silence. It's the same for our spiritual lives. Do not be afraid of the silence. Do not be afraid of the uncomfortableness that we might have at a certain point in our journey. Stick with it, because God is going to speak out of that, just as he did for Jesus. The last thing is this. I came here 7 years ago. I don't think we as a congregation would have been ready for what we are about to embark upon. But about 2.5 years ago, the vestry and the lay leaders met with an organization by the name of RSI. And they came to us, and we had interviewed all these companies about their approach to a capital campaign, some worse than others. But RSI stood over and above anybody else because their whole approach was, you think this is about a building campaign. It's not. It's about our approach to how we deal with the treasure, the blessings that God has given to us. And everybody's eyes and hearts lit up. That's what this is about. We're not 12 years old anymore. I think we're at that stage where God is ready to send us into the desert. And in the next 5 weeks, you will have the opportunity to join a small group. You will hear it re-echoed in the sermons on Sunday. And yes, we are going to talk about money. I'm telling you right out front. This is not just about the money we're trying to raise to do the ministry that God has given us to do, but it's a take that journey into the desert and to take all the preconceived notions we might have now about the way God is calling us to use our resources and to think a little bit more about stewards, about how God is calling us to keep God number one in our lives. If that's the only thing that comes out of these 5 weeks, it is well worth our time. Is it going to be uncomfortable for some of us? Absolutely. But we should let His perfect love cast out all fear. Because the blessings that God will bring to us individually and collectively are going to be more than we could have ever asked or imagined. Lastly, remember that we don't go to the desert alone. Jesus went there Himself. We start this Lent with Jesus in the desert. We're going to end this season of Lent with Jesus again by Himself. His friends will desert Him. He will ask them to come and pray with Him in the garden. They will be alone because they all fall asleep. He will be giving His life on the cross, and at that very moment, He will feel as if even His own Father has deserted Him. You are never alone. As we get into this holy conversation with our Heavenly Father this Lenten season, in whatever are the issues that you now choose to let God deal with in your life, remember that Jesus is there with you to give you strength, to let His perfect love cast out all fear. May it be so for all of us. Amen.